For those who don't know me, if we've not met, my name's John. I am the Associate Vicar here at the church, and I want to wish you all a very happy Easter too. And without giving the game away too much by saying that, who can tell me what is special about Easter Sunday? Yes. A bit more? Go on. What's Mum saying? Always listen to Mum. And he raised from the dead. That's right. That's what this day is all about. It's what the Christian faith is all about, actually. But interestingly, we have not chosen that story, Jesus' resurrection, for our reading today. Instead, we have another story, a story of a time that Jesus did a resurrection himself. And it's a story where actually Jesus had three very good friends who were related. They were two sisters. One was called Mary, one was called Martha, and they had a brother called Lazarus. And Lazarus was not very well. And one day Jesus received a message from the sisters. And the message simply said, "Lord, your friend, our brother, Lazarus, is sick. He's unwell." Now, Jesus did something unusual. He didn't sort of hurry. He spent a couple more days where he was and doing what he was doing before he decided to go and see his three good friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And sadly, during that time, before Jesus set off, sadly, Lazarus died. And Will is going to pick up the story about what happens when Jesus gets there. Thanks, Will.
So the reading can be found on page 1078 of the Blue Bibles in the backs of the chairs in front of you. And it's taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, and we'll be reading from verses 17 to 27. So that's John, chapter 11, 17 to 27 on page 1078. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." This is the word of the Lord.
Wow, thanks, Will. What an exchange has just taken place. And after this exchange, Jesus is moved to tears by the grief of his friends. And then he calls out in a loud voice. He says, "Lazarus," remember, who is in the tomb, "Lazarus, come out." And he did. He came out of that tomb. At the word of Jesus, Lazarus came out of the tomb. He still had some of the grave clothes wrapped around his legs and his feet and his head. But he came out. And loads of people saw him and had seen what Jesus had did, and they put their faith in him. Wow. There is something that doesn't happen every day. But I don't know about you. One of the puzzling things about that story for me is why Jesus doesn't go straight away. He hangs around for 2 days. Why doesn't he go straight away to help his friend who is in need? That's what we do, isn't it? When we have someone who is in need, we tend to rally round, drop everything. I remember a number of years ago, my father got quite unwell quite quickly, ended up in hospital. I was in the north of Scotland. He was in North London. I got on the first flight I could from Inverness back down to London so I could see if I could help my mum in any way. It's what we do, isn't it? We gather around those who are in need, who need help. But not Jesus. Not here. It's odd, isn't it? It's odd. Actually, I bet some of us can relate to Mary and Martha, can't we? We can relate to them. You know, we talk to God. We ask for his help. We ask him to do something. And what happens? Nothing. Feels like there's silence. It's like God stays put. It's like he doesn't move. Maybe we think he doesn't care. Why isn't God with us? Why isn't he here? Why isn't he helping us with our prayers? Well, I want you to just take a look at a short video. And as we do this, try and put yourself in the shoes of Mary and Martha, who have asked for the Lord Jesus' help. This is a little poem reflecting on that. Take a look at this.
If you'd been here, my brother would not have died. If you'd tried. Were you otherwise occupied? Were you hiding? Biding your time? For what? A deeper challenge? A grander entrance? A brighter glory? A better story? The nick of time is a good story. That would do. 11th hour, you'd come through. Midnight, you were due. Now it's 2:30. Where were you? If you'd been here, my brother would not have died. You were meant to ride in on the white horse, enter the fray, the dragon slay, save the day. Did you hear us pray? Did you want it this way? If you'd been here to stop him dying, why are you crying? You're meant to be death-defying. Why are you sighing at the tomb, decrying mortal ruin? Why in God's name are you queuing for the same? You're commander-in-chief. We demanded relief. Now you landed beneath all our sorrows and grief. Now it's you on your knees, empty-handed, bequeathing as none of our pleas. Is this what you chose? To bring only tears? We got plenty of those. Why are you here? You say to draw near. And then to sink like a stone past the brink of the chasm we desperately fear. In darkness enfolded, our terrors you shouldered while pierced by the nails and the spear. You have been here. You've stooped far below all depths that we know. Engulfed in our weeping and woe. Submerged in the grave, then risen to save, upending assumptions we'd made. See, if you had been here the way that we prayed, we'd only succeed in death delayed. We'd only evade the reaper for now, but soon we would bow. Soon we'd be plowed in the ground with no one to plead. Yet, through you, death's a gardener, and we are the seed. And this is the path resurrection decreed. If you will be here, drawing near, that will do. For now, to know you in your grace, we can face what is true. As in Adam, the world dies. So in Christ, all will rise. When you appear, my brother too, when you wipe away tears, when darkness clears, when morning has cheered, when joy swallows fear, here's how we'll cope. This our true hope. You will be here.
I don't know about you, but I find that quite a moving poem. As in Adam the world dies, so in Christ all will rise. Those are the words of the Apostle Paul. And Paul can say those words, and Glenn Scrivener, who did that poem, he can repeat them because of the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus that Will read for us earlier. These are the words that I would like to spend a few minutes reflecting on as we think about the hope of everlasting life. These are them. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me, Jesus says, will never die. Now, last year we spent a number of Sundays in our all-age Sundays looking at these special I am sayings of Jesus. Do you remember that, those of you who come here regularly? Jesus would say, I am something. This is one of them. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. So many. And that I am is a really significant phrase. And to help us think about this particular one, that I am the resurrection and the life, I need a couple of helpers, because we're going to play a game at the front of church. So I need a couple of helpers who can help me, because we are going to play a game of possible... impossible. Come on, Judah, you can come and represent this side up here. So I need a volunteer from this side of the church. You know the drill. I like to play one side of the church against the other. It's not about division, it's just about competition. Hands up, come on, who wants to come up here? And okay, look, I know, Judah, you've been very, very good. So what I'm going to do, just to, you know, shamelessly bribe somebody, there is a prize on offer. A chocolate egg there. Anybody, does that entice anybody on this side? Anyone coming up to play for chocolate? Come on then, come on. I can't see who's coming. Who have we got? Nick, who are you bringing? Right, Judy, you need one of these. Okay. And on one side it says possible, a big green tick. On the other side it's got impossible. And this has been specially designed so you can even flip it over so it works rather than having to... My son told me to do that. Here we go. Who have we got here? Edie and Ida, welcome. So here's a possible and an impossible sign, okay? Now, the way this game works, I am going to say a statement, and you have to decide whether what I say is possible or impossible. Now, if it's a bit tricky, you can go for it yourself, but if it's a bit tricky, you can ask this side of the church. They're playing on your team, and you can ask this side of the church, okay? So does that make sense? You know what you've got to do. Here is the first one, okay? Is it possible or impossible for an acorn to grow into a tree? Do we think that's possible or impossible? Just turn that the other way around. Is it possible or impossible? You've both gone for possible. Yes, it's possible. Of course it's possible, isn't it? Well done. You see, you get the idea of the game? Let's have another example. Is it possible or impossible for somebody to run faster than a sports car? Is that possible or impossible? What do we think? We've got an impossible here, we've got an impossible here. Yes, right, it's impossible. Well done. Well done. Third one, here we go. Is it possible or is it impossible to eat too many chocolate eggs at Easter? Oh, now we're in different territory. Impossible? What are we saying here? We're saying impossible. Okay. I've gone for a little bit of maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We always like to eat a lot of chocolate. Okay, let's keep going. Oh, is it possible, you might need to ask a bit of help here, or impossible for West Ham United, best team ever, fantastic team, is it possible or impossible for them to win the Premier League this year? Do we? Whoa, we've gone for, I love your optimism. We've gone for impossible. You're right, it is impossible. It is impossible, statistically impossible, that West Ham are going to get the title this year. It'll be good if we can avoid relegation. Anyway, okay, we've got a couple more. Here we go, just a few more. Is it impossible or possible for men to walk on the moon? Is that possible? Has it happened? It's happened, hasn't it? Yes, it's possible. Brilliant, okay. Now, here's one. Is it possible or impossible for those who have died and are buried in our churchyard, they've got the graveyards on the screen, is it possible or impossible for them to come back to life? What do we think? We think impossible here, we think impossible there. Oh, I've gone too far. Yeah, we've got a split decision, possible and impossible. We need to think about that a little bit more, don't we? Because it's not immediately obvious. None of these people who are buried in our churchyard have actually come back to life to our knowledge. So we need to think about that a little bit more. Can we give a round of applause to these guys, volunteers? And do you know what? As it happens, I think you're all winners. Unlike James, who only rewarded one person on Good Friday, I think all of the helpers deserve a little... Sorry, James, wherever you are, cheap shot. it was a cheap shot. Yes, we need to think about that a little bit more. Because normal people can't come back to life, can they? Normal people don't tend to come back to life. I mean, well, Lazarus did. In our story, we just heard that Lazarus did. So how did Lazarus come back to life? Anyone tell me? How did Lazarus come back to life? It was Jesus. And what about Jesus? What did he do? Did Jesus do a magic spell? What did he actually do to make Lazarus come back to life? He spoke. At his word, he spoke, and Lazarus came back to life. But do you know what? Actually, eventually, Lazarus died again too. In fact, there's only one person who died and came back to life and remained fully, bodily, physically alive, and that is Jesus. You see, after Jesus died, he too was laid in a tomb. He died on the cross, and after he died on the cross, they laid his body in a tomb. And on the third day, his friends went to give his body a proper burial, and which they hadn't had time to do. And when they arrived at Jesus' tomb, they found a tomb like this. They found that the stone had been rolled away. And they thought, that's impossible that Jesus isn't there. That's where we'd left him. That's just not possible. Well, everyone came and checked it out. They all looked around. They were all a bit confused. They couldn't make sense of it. But then Jesus himself appeared. And he appeared to his friends and to his followers. Sometimes he appeared to over 500 people. And he appeared to prove that with God, nothing is impossible. The impossible was now possible, that Jesus had risen from the dead. And that is why Jesus could say, and he still says today, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. You see, the truth is that one day we all will die. Apart from those blessed few who will be around when Jesus returns in glory. But until he does, one day all of us will die. As in Adam, all die. That is the penalty that we pay for our rejection of God. It's the price we pay. We're separated from him because of it. We're separated from God. Now think of it a bit like this. We're here. We're in this space. And this cloth kind of represents our separation, if you like, from God. God and eternal life are beyond it. But death is an eternal separation is the price we pay for our sin, our rejection of God, all the wrong things that we do. I showed you a picture earlier. I showed you a picture earlier, this one, of the gravestones around the church. And each one of those gravestones represents the life of somebody like you and me, previous members of this church, this church family, St. John's. And you know what? There are some fascinating stories behind all of them. Some fascinating stories. We have people who fought in wars. We have people who were sadly in accidents. People who tragically died very young. We even have one tomb that commemorates somebody who died on the Titanic. Obviously, their body isn't there, but the commemoration to them is. They represent us. Well, I thought about that, and I thought, well, what kind of represent? Well, I'm going to show you mine. So here's mine. This is my tombstone. It's got my Sunday name on it. That's because my mum's here today, and so it's got Jonathan. Jonathan on it. Jonathan Teasdale, 1974 to 20 sometime. Don't know. When I was doing this, Thomas said, maybe 2026, Dad. You'll have to see whether he's got the gift of prophecy in time. But at some point, it could be tomorrow, or it could be 30, 40 years from now. At some point, I will die. One day, I will draw my last breath. But here's the thing. And this is the importance of a day like today, the importance of what is at the core of the Christian faith. With Jesus, death isn't the end. It's not the end. Because actually, what it is just a doorway. It's a gateway that we go through. For all those who believe and trust in Jesus and in his I am the resurrection and the life words, death is merely a doorway. It's a gateway to a wonderful eternity with Jesus. And so the significance of a day like today is that death is not the end. It's not the end. For all those who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus, who are walking through that doorway, that gateway, into an eternity full of love and joy and peace and goodness and unity. There is no more pain. There is no more heartache. There are no more tears. Remember Jesus' words? Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. That's good news, isn't it? That's what's at the heart of what we believe as Christians. It's a wonderful, perfect, beautiful, stunning, joyous, connected with the very one who created us. It's that future. And it's all possible because of the first Easter. As you look through that open doorway, you can see the cross at the back. Jesus dying on the cross to pay the penalty our rejection of God deserves. And then coming back to life a few days later, proving that resurrection is possible. Friends, the wonderful truth of Easter Day, is that we don't have to fear this. We do not have to fear the grave. This is not the end. It's not the end for our dear brother Rodney. It's not the end for any of the people who die believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. One day they, like Jesus, will rise again. And that is good news. His resurrection to eternal life can be ours. So my question to us this morning, as a gathered church, visitors, regular members alike, those watching online, my question to you is simply this. It is simply to repeat Jesus' question to Martha. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? If you do, then live the rest of your days from this point on, rejoicing in this truth, thanking God for it, not fearing, but rejoicing. Look, maybe you're here this morning and you think you'd like to believe this, but you're not too sure. Can I just say it is wonderful to have you with us if you are in that category. We love having people. We often have visitors with us who are not too sure about the things that we're saying from the front of church. But I just want to say to you, I want to encourage you to keep thinking about it. And perhaps there's two things that will help you to encourage you as you continue thinking about it. One is that we're running a course here. Some sessions in a couple of starting this Wednesday actually, called The Truth. It's called Truth, and thinking about the claims that Jesus made. He claimed to be the truth. Do you remember I said Jesus said some I am statements, one of which was I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so if you'd like to come along and explore that some more, you're very welcome to. It's on Wednesdays, occasional Wednesdays at 8 o'clock down in the church centre. You'd be very welcome indeed. The other thing to say is that I'd love you to take one of these booklets. We've got some booklets to give you as you leave, as well as some chocolate. Shameless, I know. But there's a booklet here, How One Weekend, this significant weekend that Christians make such a big deal about, Friday through Sunday, How One Weekend Can Give You Everything You Wanted. Thinking about this, thinking about Easter weekend. So there's a copy of this for you as you leave. Or alternatively, if you just want to chat to myself or to Mike as you go today, please feel free to grab us. We'd love to have a chat with you. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for the truth of Easter. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that by the power of your Spirit, you brought him back to life and that tomb was empty. Please help us to trust you, to believe you, to obey you, and to enjoy living in the knowledge of eternal life with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.